In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as we continue on our Epiphany journey, and on this Sunday, which I always think is a bit like the real New Year in Australia, the beginning of February, this week we jump back in time. We've been thinking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry over the past weeks, and back today we go to when he was still a young baby. In the church calendar, this day is often known as Candlemas. It's a day in the Northern Hemisphere that marks the turning point of winter, the looking towards the light after the dark days, pointing to the light of spring. And in many cases, candles are blessed as signs of that light, pointing us towards the hope of Easter. But this story of Jesus being brought to the temple, where he was recognized by Simeon and Anna as being the Messiah, the longed-for one, is another epiphany sign on our journey of signs. Jesus, the child born for us, is the one who came from God and is the one who shows us what God is like. And this is affirmed today, just 7 days after his birth. So today, Mary and Joseph bring their baby to the temple to present him to God, as they were required to do with their firstborn son, and also for Mary to undergo all the ceremonial cleansing rituals after childbirth of her time. And here, Luke gives us some little potted images of people's response to God, of their faith, and of the way that they lived out their faith in the world. And Simeon's prophecy launches the whole gospel narrative. Let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a salvation prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. But there was a downside to this. This child is set for the rising and fall of many in Israel and for a sign that is spoken against. It's not going to be plain sailing. As Mary brought her firstborn son before God, I imagine that that day would have held very special significance for her. This child had been predicted by an angel in extraordinary circumstances. This child had been named Jesus in response to the angel's command and was now being given back to God, gifted back to God for God's glory. And then, we're told, his parents took him back to Nazareth, back home, and we're told that he increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favour, dedicated to God, growing up in the world. God gives us good gifts for our comfort and for our well-being, because God, out of God's great love, desires us also to give. The gifts that we're given aren't intended to be held onto tightly or kept to ourselves. They're meant to be held with open hands, released for God's use in the world, whether that's our children or our money or our homes or our skills or our talents. We're to find ways to creatively share our money, give back to God rather than just tithe, because that's the letter of the law. As we're hospitable in a whole variety of ways, creative ways, we provide others with shelter and food and companionship on the journey. Unless these gifts we have are shared with others, unless they're given back to God, they're not a lot of use and they get wasted. So Mary stood there with her baby son that day, offered him to God, not realizing that the journey that lay ahead of her, a journey that would need faith and courage as she watched her son be rejected and suffer and die, a journey no parent wants to take, but many have to. Simeon didn't only praise God that day, his prophecy revealed that this child would cause division among his people and that Mary's heart would be pierced and broken. In the temple that day, there are two interested onlookers. Simeon, a righteous and devout man, we're told, a man who'd been waiting on God, believing God's promise that the Messiah would come to rescue Israel, believing promises as we read in our reading from Malachi today, keeping believing those things even though it looked unlikely, who was on the lookout for God's promise to be fulfilled. He was waiting on God in an active and trusting way, holding on to the promise, praying daily, and he believed that God answered prayer and that God would fulfill what God had promised. A man of faith and hope. He was there that day. And we kind of imagine the scene. An unremarkable young couple who'd travelled in from Nazareth to perform their ritual duty, perhaps one of many there on that day. Many couples bringing their children before God and for cleansing. Simeon welcomed them, we're told, and he took the baby in his arms. Perhaps Mary told him her stories about the angel's visit. But whatever it was, we're told that the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that this child was the promised one, the predicted one. This child was God's answer for Israel and for the world. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Simeon's exclamation about Jesus was an act of pure faith. He understood that this baby that he held in his arms contained the hope of the world. And Simeon's song of praise in response to holding this child in his arms tells us about the salvation God offers. It was to be for all people, a universal gift, a light to lighten the Gentiles. The people of Israel already knew God's love and God's gift, and now that love was designed for all people. This is the Epiphany manifestation. This child, born in humble circumstances, is the light of the world and the light of our lives. This child was for the glory of your people Israel. God had revealed God's self to the Jews as the God who works in history. Israel believed that God had been with them from the time of Abraham until the present, and they were sure that God could act again to deliver them. And what was revealed to Simeon that day was that the God who had always been showing his presence to Israel had come, grounded in humanity, in Jesus. Simeon believed God. He waited for God. He looked expectantly and hopefully for God's answer. And he was open on that day to the Holy Spirit, ready to see it in the baby he held in his arms. And then we meet Anna. It tells us in the story she's an old woman, an elderly woman who spent most of her long life working in the temple, it tells us, fasting and praying, a deeply spiritual and prayerful person. And when she heard Simeon praising God, when she understood what he was saying, she praised God too. And then it tells us she went out and told everyone she met that the one they were expecting had come. God's answer for the world was at hand, And this child was a child of hope. Anna's gift was a gift of prayer, but it was also a gift of sharing her experience with others, with everyone she met. She couldn't contain herself. Like the prophet Simeon, we yearn for the coming of the Messiah, for everything in this world to be put to rights, for the hungry to be fed, for prisoners to be set free, for the sick to be healed. Like the prophet Anna, we hope that our prayer and our faithfulness will be rewarded, that peace will prevail on the earth, that justice will conquer all oppression. The truth of Christmas, of Candlemas, the truth of the purification, of the presentation, the truth of the incarnation is simply this. When the angel's song dies away, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings have gone home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the real work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people. At the core of our faith lies the reality of the incarnation. A child born, a life lived, a death died, a renewed presence and power in our lives. The child dedicated to God that day was Jesus the Christ, the servant king. Like Simeon, like Anna, we need to be on the lookout for God at work in our lives and in our world. And we need to know deep down that Jesus, the God who visited and redeemed his people, is the God who walks with us still, day by day, moment by moment, wherever we are, whoever we are. The light is the light for all people. The Lord be with you.